You're listening to a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, dedicated to bringing podcasters together for the greater good of gaming. It's sort of like Voltron, but with better lip syncing. Find out more at dicetowernetwork.com.
Of the Family Gamers Podcast. This is episode 107.
107 is a prime number.
Okay.
It's also a twin prime.
What's that mean?
A twin prime is a number, I learned this from the internet less than 107 seconds ago, that is two more or two less than another prime number. 109 is also a prime number.
So 107 and 109 are twin primes together.
Right.
So now we have a fact for the episode after next.
Absolutely, we do.
Fantastic.
So, it is episode 107 of the Family Gamers Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew, and as always, I am joined by my lovely wife, Anitra.
That's me.
And it is an odd-numbered episode, which means we have a guest.
We do.
Which is awesome. And it's appropriate that 107 is a prime number, because, of course, I'm referring to Optimus Prime superfan, Nick Martinelli. How you doing, Nick?
Hey, how's it going?
You are a huge Transformers fan.
Oh, my lord, yes. Optimus Prime is like my superhero.
Right. See, so I was actually all legit right about that there.
There you go.
I made a reference. I'm sticking with it. So Nick, we're having Nick on the show because if you were listening for episode 105, the Gen Con Mega Super Show of Doom, Nick was the hero of the hour. He was the roving reporter on the show floor at Gen Con, and you got to talk to a lot of awesome people. And you drug your daughter around with you at the show.
Yeah, she was worn out, man, I tell you. Yeah.
I mean, I was worn out just listening to you talking to other people while getting worn out, so I can only imagine how worn out Izzy was.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple times I got like the look like, Dad, are we going to go game now?
That's a good look, though. I mean, you know, it's a good look.
Oh, totally. So then it was cool, like when we were chatting with Chris from Calliope, you know, she was like playing with the Mansky Caper safes and stuff like that. So, you know,
so
kept her busy.
Jealous.
Green Couch, she was taking his only copy of the new Best Treehouse Force of Fun, like building a treehouse out of the cards.
So was he like wincing? He was like, oh.
I was like, Izzy, this is his only copy that, you know, that came in. So be very
the only
careful.
Only one in the world.
Yeah,
the only one. On this.
Yeah, until they actually ship. So be careful, please.
So Nick is one of the writers for the Family Gamers website at thefamilygamers.com. You've written a bunch of reviews for us, which is awesome. The most recent review that we published for Let Them Eat Shrimp by Dr. Finn Games was written by Nick. And so, Nick, I mean, you've been on the show before, but why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about you and about, like, what kind of games you like, and, you know, we mentioned Izzy and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. My gaming profile, huh?
Sure.
I've been gaming for, gosh, it's been about 10 years. Carcassonne was like my first, Carcassonne and Settlers of Catan, however you say it, everybody says it differently. Catan, let's be snooty. I heavily got into board gaming through, believe it or not, like the Xbox. I had, the original Xbox had, 360, I'm sorry, with Carcassonne and Catan on there. And then it kind of just translated, like, I got to get this in cardboard. So I ended up buying, like, a big box. And, you know, that was my gateway into board gaming. And over the last couple of years, you know, like, you know, you guys mentioned kids. That really also kind of sparked it, you know, gaming with Izzy and then my son now, Jace, who's 5. You know, they're growing up with board games. But as far as, like, my favorite stuff, I like the medium, light to medium weight. I'm not a big dudes on a map kind of, you know, gamer. You know, those games that'll sit there and play for 3 or 4 hours. Like, I was at a game club a couple months ago, and a group that I go out and hang out with on the third Saturday of the month, I think it is. And they were like playing Twilight Imperium. And I looked at my buddy when we walked him, like, there's no way I could do that one. That's a little too heavy. I don't know. I like, you know, like the Century Spice Roads, the, you know, Valeria Current Kingdoms is one of my favorite, my recent faves. Huge Red Raven fan with, like, Near and Far, Above and Below. So, you know, yeah, just light to medium weight. I love a lot of filler games too. I'm a huge filler game fanatic. You know, short, you know, get quick plays in, that type of thing. Yeah, that's a light medium. I don't do the super heavy stuff. I've never wargamed. I don't do the D&D stuff.
Cool. What would you say your favorite game is right now?
Oh, my favorite game. Oh, man. I'm looking over here at the Gen Con stash in the little cabinet we have. I'd probably say right now, it's toss-up between Above and Below and Valyria Card Kingdoms. Because, I don't know if you've played it, it's similar to Machikoro. It's the whole little engine/tableau builder. It's got that whole awesome fantasy kind of theme artwork and stuff like that. And I'd probably have to say those two, Above and Below. And the reason why I love Above and Below so much is just the whole storytelling aspect of it. So, you know, you roll the dice and I keep wanting to go down into the below just to read the little, you know, paragraph excerpts from the, you know, from the book, and then, you know, roll the dice to try to see if I can, you know, either defeat the monster or help somebody. So it's a really interesting game. I'm having a lot of fun with it. And, you know, I got Near and Far for Christmas for my folks, and I started one of my best friends. We started the campaign mode. We literally milked the first campaign for it had to be 2 hours, because we just kept wanting to do the story stuff. We just kept playing, go to the market, go back, go, okay, let's go back and go on and do, you know. So both of us were doing it. So yeah, those two are probably my top faves right now.
Awesome. So we wanted to have Nick on the show to kind of fill in the gaps between the 12, 13 interviews that you did for us for Gen Con to kind of talk about the show, right? So, you know, we've made reference to Gen Con being the biggest board gaming event in the United States, and certainly a lot of people talk about how crazy it is, how it really is a show unlike any other.
It is huge. You know, starting with the convention center, I've been to convention centers for stuff for work, and then, you know, I live outside of Chicago, and we have McCormick Place, which is a gigantic, you know, they have the big Chicago auto show there every year. So I kind of think of it like that, like the Chicago auto show, if you're from the Midwest or been to McCormick Place, it's just huge. The vendor hall has got to be at least, I wish I knew the square footage, but I mean, I want to say there's 15, almost close to 20 aisles worth of vendors in there. I mean, we're talking, I wish I could tell you the square feet, but it's got to be at least two football fields and then, you know, maybe a football field and a half wide. So, I mean, it's a lot, it's huge. And then, so that's the main convention area. Off to the, you know, one side of it, they have this huge open, you know, open gaming where they'd run a lot of the events on site. And that's another massive hall. I mean, I'm talking massive, not small. I mean, it's huge. You know, they have just tables and tables of event tables there. You know, Wizards has a whole Magic the Gathering where they run tournaments and stuff, so they take up a corner of it. Blizzard, over the last couple of years with Hearthstone getting so big, you know, took up one whole corner over there and had a huge, Hearthstone tavern thing set up, which was really neat to see. So that's kind of the main area. Then, you know, they got all the walkways and all that stuff. And then in each of the hotels that are Skywalk connected, there's several of them. Those hotels, they can open up all their ballrooms and all their meeting rooms just for open gaming. And then they also will run events out of there. So D&D, I think, run some events at hotels, and they also have a big section of the second floor of the convention. So the first floor of the convention where the vendor hall is, and there's various rooms and stuff where publishers like Rio and other smaller publishers like Asmodee and stuff will rent rooms in there and just be running demos, you know, from 9 a.m. to midnight or something like that. So that's the main hall. Yeah, almost every hotel has open gaming. So some of these hotels are huge. So they have tons of convention area, meeting area rooms. So, remember last year when I was there, I stayed at one of the hotels, and I had no idea how big this hotel was. I mean, you got the hotel section, but then their meeting conference area was just enormous. I mean, rooms and rooms and rooms. You know, we walked out at 10 o'clock at night and just walked into a room that had an open table and just started gaming. It's every hotel, every space there has open rooms to go. Interesting story, where we stayed at a hotel, Skywalk connected, called the Crown Plaza, and they had a connection to Union Station, which is the old train station that they restored, I don't know, it was 20, 30 years ago. And so they had events running at the Union Station. I think Wednesday they had the Publisher Industry Day, so they had huge ballroom at this Union Station, you know, loaded with tables and stuff. And then they had, you know, open rooms and stuff that we went there that night before on Wednesday night to just go game and hang out after we ate. It's just massive. It's massive and overwhelming. And then, yeah, then you mentioned Lucas Oil Stadium. So imagine a football field all covered up, loaded with gaming tables. So that was an experience in itself. Like, you know, I'm not a huge sports fan, but that was my, I think that was my first visit to a football stadium before in my whole life this year. And it was neat. They had a little like piece of the AstroTurf cut out so you can actually step on it. So like Izzy and I took some pictures and we're standing. I'm like, look, we're standing on a football field.
We're Andrew Luck.
Yeah. I've never been on a football field before. So, I mean, yeah, just imagine a whole football field, you know, NFL football field loaded with gaming tables.
That's crazy.
Nuts.
It's just so much everything
huge.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, just massive, massive, you know, and then the people that come along with it, too. I mean, it's you know, it's packed.
Right. So you mentioned that the place that you were staying was the Crown Plaza.
Yeah.
And it was attached to an old train station.
Yeah, we were looking through rooms. And we saw the Crown Plaza there and then noticed that just in Googling ahead of time, we saw that it was a converted transportation station. So it had, you know, I mean, this thing was old. It dates back to early 1900s here. And, you know, they converted this massive transportation hub. You know, used to have Greyhound buses, trains coming in and out, whether they were freight or people, passenger cars coming through. And so with the room that we actually stayed in on the second floor, where they had tracks coming in, prior had tracks coming in, and where the platform is, don't quote me, but so they actually had two sets of rails and they had converted train cars. So we were like, we actually stayed inside of a passenger train car, you know, that had to be, had to be super old, maybe from the 30s or something like that. I mean, it was really old fashioned looking.
Cool.
So yeah, we literally had this, and there was just all these passenger cars just lined up. There must have been like 10 of them in two rows. You know, we were in the green cars and then on the opposite end of the hotel, they had another track set up. So they had, you know, two sets of these rooms. So when registration opened up, we were looking at hotels and like my buddy, like, he's like, we have to stay here. I was like, okay, that sounds cool. And then started looking at him like, okay, well, it's only like 10 square feet less and it's like a train car. How cool is that?
Yeah, exactly.
And then when we got there, you know, Izzy, like, her jaw dropped. She's like, this is the coolest thing ever. And, you know, we actually had to step up into the car and, like, walk up these little metal, you know, steps. And then, you know, the door to our hotel room, you know, obviously they converted it and it has all the creature comforts of a hotel room. But it was just really neat staying in a train car, looking out sitting on the bed or in the chair and looking out. And, like, I'm looking out through a train car window onto, like, the platform where we were staying at.
That's cool.
So it was totally worth the $10 extra a day. I think that's like our new favorite hotel. And then it was awesome because the Skywalk exited, connected directly right to, you know, the Indianapolis Convention Center towards the back end. So when we would walk in through like the main, like the 100 aisle, you know, the first aisle. So it was easy to get in that way. We missed all the crowds from the other sides and stuff.
Nice.
So
nice.
Yeah, it was a beautiful hotel. You know, they have remnants of the station there. You can see like these huge iron girders and stuff, like archways and stuff like that. They just left all the original architecture, you know, throughout the hotel. It was just a beautiful place. So I think that's like our new place to stay.
Nice. That's awesome. So talk a little bit about what it's like, you know, being a Gen Con attendee. What's the show floor experience like?
Oh man.
Other than crowded and busy.
Crowded? Yeah, crowded for sure. And you know, I've gotten used to, everybody complains about it. Oh, crowds, you know. Growing up going to concerts and stuff in my, you know, late teens and college years, you know, got used to being at a show and getting, you know, bumped around and stuff. And so the crowds don't bother me too much. But yeah, I mean, massive amount of people, you know, the aisles I wish were a little bigger. And, but yeah, just a sheer mass of, you know, every publisher's got a booth, like CMON's got like a section, you know, a huge, huge booth, you know, so as you're walking through, you know,
need room for all those huge, huge minis.
All those minis. Yeah. Right. Cool. Mini or not.
Less than truly mini.
Yes. Oh my Lord. Yeah. And their booth is always hopping. But yeah, I mean, you got the huge, you know, these huge mega booths for some of these publishers, you know, but as far as me, it's like, for me, it's like a kid in a candy store. It's like, I don't know where to go. It's like, what was that movie with the dog that can only go squirrel? And then you like, you run and got to go see that. And it's like, squirrel over here. So I'm going to go to this side. I'm going to go to this side. So over the years, I've kind of like trying to put a system into it where I start at the first aisle or I start at the last aisle, depending where we decided to walk in. And I just kind of go down every aisle and, you know, I have like an Evernote that I take with me. Like, here's the stuff that I really want to see or I really want to play. And I you know, or I want to buy day one, because there's always the buying issue too. You know, the some of the hot stuff is going to be gone day one or day two. You know, like one of the first day pickups, you know, I had in my list. I wanted to get two games actually that I bought, you know, the minute I was able to get in there. One is that House of Danger from Z-Man, the Choose Your Own Adventure game.
Yep.
Which is a Target exclusive. I could have got it there, but the promo card fanatic that I am, they had a little Gen Con promo pack, so I paid, you know, full retail for it, you know, for that one, picked that up, and then it was literally, they had a pallet of them, and by, I think I was there at like 3 o'clock, got mine, and they were down to like the last three stacks of, you know, piles on the pallet, and next day the pallet was gone and they were sold out. And then I bought this other one from WizKids called Maiden's Quest, which is like a one or two player like dungeon crawl where all the you know, it's a, you know, you're playing as a heroine, you know, instead of the, you know, barbarian guy trudging through the, you know, through the dungeon, you are a maiden questing on her way for, to kick butt and, you know, make it through all these levels of the dungeon. So that was my, those are my two, like I had to have, like, I'd be disappointed if I didn't get those. But yeah, I just kind of went through and just, I just attack it aisle by aisle. I have another friend that always goes, he's like, he goes, I got to go to these three booths and I'm buying them. And the rest of his day, he goes games. And for me, I go there to, you know, just check out everything. I try to, you know, so spend a good day walking through the aisle, you know, through the aisles. And then I pretty much rinse and repeat every day. I just rewalk the floor because there's always something you're going to miss. You got people huddled in, you can't see, you know, if there's a booth's got a big crowd, I'm not, I won't stand in line for 20 minutes to try to demo something. I'll try coming back because I'm there for 4 days. But yeah, there's just so much to see. But yeah, I always try to keep a list. Like, here's the things I definitely want to get my first day, because I know that if I don't, you know, and like a goof this year, I didn't go to the BGG booth immediately. They had some promo cards I wanted to pick up, so I missed out on, again, on getting my Above and Below Groves cards, which I can order online, I realize. But, you know, it's nice to get that stuff there. But yeah, I like to just take it easy, take it kind of slow, and just walk through every aisle. And then if I see something cool, I'll stop and play it. And we did that a ton, you know, in between running for interviews and, you know, little events that we were scheduled at. That's the big thing, I guess, is really on, depends, you know, there's a lot of people who just go to game. Like, they'll go to Lucas Oil, buy the whatever, I forget what the event ticket is, to sit there for 4 or 5 hours and just play. But me, I'm like, I'm there, I totally can game at home with my friends every Saturday like we do, but I like to just go check out what's new, demo stuff that I've been wanting to play before I buy, you know, and, you know, just try stuff out, you know. Because I don't have a, you know, easy access to a game store that's super close to me, that's convenient with my family schedule, where I can just go on a Friday night and ditch everybody and just go try stuff. So it's kind of like my stomping ground to go try new things and play stuff and see what I want to, you know, what I want to buy at some point.
I totally get that. We've mentioned on the show before that we don't really have a local game store. We have a local comic store that sells a few games. But otherwise, we're either buying them from Target or we're waiting until a big convention.
Right.
So, Nick, you've mentioned Izzy a few times. Izzy is your daughter. How old is she?
She is just turned 9 this year.
And was this the first time that you've brought her to Gen Con, or has she been before?
No, this is her first year. Gen Con has historically been, for the handful of years I've been going now, has been kind of like my vacation with friends of mine. And two of my close friends, you know, moved from Illinois up to Michigan, so I only get to see them a couple times a year. So it's been kind of like a little friend's vacation. I have a beautiful, wonderful, understanding wife that lets me go every year, you know, budgets for me to have some fun and go. But, you know, I was kind of waiting until she got a little older, because I know kids, and you guys can attest to this, can be challenging at a younger age at conventions. So we kind of spent the last year, you know, kind of working up to it, making her walk at the zoo instead of taking the wagon, or, you know, we go to the mall, you're walking, you know, we're going to Target, you're not in the shopping cart. So, you know, and I wanted to get her to an old enough age where, you know, she can maybe actually play some of the little more, not complex, but stuff that, you know, I mean, she's been gaming with me since she's been like 3 or 4. So, I mean, after a game or two, she picks it up and can, you know, handle a little heavier stuff. But I wanted to make sure she was a little old enough, could handle it. You know, it's long hours. You know, her dad is the guy that wants to be at the floor from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. shopping and demoing. Other than taking a quick lunch break for 30 minutes, running out to the food trucks, which are amazing there, by the way, and then coming back in and just, you know, going nuts, you know.
We don't know anything about being on the show floor from open to close, do we, Andrew?
No, that seems like something that somebody...
Why would you do that?
...be crazy to do.
With children in tow.
With children,
I've never done that.
Never done that. No, of course not.
So yeah, that was my logic, whether or not... And I've seen Tommy... There's people there with baby strollers, people strap on infants, you know, in the, what do you call those, the infant carrier things? I forget, the baby Bjorns walking around with their kids hanging on.
You know, if they're small enough to be in the infant carriers, you're probably good. I mean, you got to take breaks to like feed them and change the diaper. Yeah. Otherwise, they'll be content.
Right. Now, that'd be my worry. The bathroom breaks. Like you'd be in the middle of something epic, and it's like, Dad, I got to go to the bathroom. It's like, oh man. Actually, fortunately, didn't have any of those. So it was the other parenting trick there is when you walk past the bathroom, hey, does anybody got to go? You can maximize your convention floor time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I just basically wanted to wait till she was old enough to be able to handle the walking, you know, and enjoy the gaming stuff too. We stayed up way too late this year. I won't make that mistake next year.
You'll forget.
Yeah, I'll forget. I mean, she was having as much fun as I was. I mean, it was such a fun bonding daddy-daughter, you know, experience for us to go, and I'll never forget it. Just some of the epic things that we did while we were there. You know, we could talk about as we keep chatting, but sure. It was just so much fun, and she was excited, pumped about going. You know, she had her little gamer T-shirts that my wife made for her, you know, made her some custom shirts, so she was all excited to show those off and stuff. And but yeah, definitely it was, you know, and she's like, I said, do you want to go next year? She's like, yep, if I want to go. So then my son wants to go. He got put on the sad face and was a little kind of bummed that he didn't get to go. And he was talking to my wife, Lisa, and she's like, hey, Mom, can we go to Gen Con next year? Can we go with Daddy and Izzy? And, you know, he'll be 6 next year. So we may have to.
That's still tough.
Now, the cool thing is, though, the bonus is that the kids, don't quote me, I want to say it's under 10, are free. So she got a wristband and didn't cost anything to get in. It wasn't the $120 ticket, 4-day pass for her to get in. So that's a perk.
Right.
That's nice.
And the other nice thing is there's a lot of stuff in Indianapolis to do. You know, the zoo is literally like, two blocks away, 2-3 blocks away. It's walkable. Mm-hmm. They have a really nice riverfront walk there. There's a Century Mall. It's like this indoor mall inside of like a skyscraper type building. So you could shop, walk around there all day long. Gen Con has like kid activities too for families. They have a lot of kid events. They actually have a babysitting service. So if you were trustworthy enough of others, strangers, to watch your kids, you could dump them off at a kiddie care, you know, for X amount of hours for a fee. Yeah, definitely. It could be challenging, but it was a lot of fun. I know a couple of things we'll do differently next year. Her and I won't stay out till 1-2 in the morning, you know, gaming at the, you know, at the conference area there at the convention center. Well, maybe we call it quits 11, you know, 12 tops. At least let both of us get 8 hours sleep. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, can't wait for next year. So Lisa and I've been talking about like, well, how would we do this? And I'm like, well, there's no way he could be there the whole day. He couldn't do it. He wouldn't walk.
Right.
So we'd have to, you know, so I'd be, you know, my badge, and it would, you know, if I got Lisa 4 days, so I'm doubling my badge costs. So I'd be another $120 if they don't jack up prices next year. But yeah, you know, so we'd have to plan stuff like, you know, and there's an awesome, the thing I don't think I mentioned is there's a phenomenal children's museum that's, right down the street from there too, walkable. We've actually took like a family day trip because I heard it was so cool, and just so happened they actually had a Transformers exhibit. So there, it was kind of,
just so happened
to be the last week the Transformers exhibit was there. And I said, hey guys, what do you think about going to the Children's Museum? So we're looking up online, and Lisa's like, you just want to go there because there's Transformers. I'm like, you got me. So we made a day trip down there, and we had a lot of fun. We didn't have enough time. We literally probably would have had to, you know, should have got a room the night and spent like, you know, from open to close there, because there's just so much to see, and the kids had a blast when we went there. So I'm sure that'd be something that she'd probably take him to do one day. I think Izzy probably want to hang at the con, trying stuff and shopping with me, and, you know, begging for dragon bracelets that are $35 a pop. So. That was a tough one, you know.
Yeah.
Saying no to the extravagant jewelry kid stuff, you know.
So I mean, how much, you know, when we went to PAX Unplugged, there wasn't a lot of sort of generic board game vendor. There were a couple like board game stores from the areas around there that went and had booths. Right. But the vast majority of the vendor hall was individual publishers.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of, I know in previous conversations we've talked about these dragon bracelets, for example, but was there a lot of gaming adjacent stuff there, or was it really mostly publishers, or what was the, how did it break down?
Great question. So yeah, all the publishers, you know, everybody and the brother, this is like their auto show, you know, equivalent, I guess you could say, right?
Right.
Their trade show for the year, for our industry, and our hobby. But yeah, I mean, there's tons, you know, all the ancillary stuff. You know, if you're into anime, there were booths that had, you know, all the Japanimation, the anime, all kinds of that stuff. I mean, there were booths that just selling all like these, you know, my friend Laura, who goes every year, she buys these little stuffed like rams or like these big sheep, big fluffy sheep pillows. So there's vendors that just sell stuffed animals and stuff like that. You see the same one or two companies that are at every convention, whether it's like Wizard Worlds or Comic-Con, you know, the mega t-shirt booths, you know, the, you know, the one shirt for $30 or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, you that Zelda or Transformers shirt that you got to have for $30. Those, and then they have a lot of like the crafty kind of neat stuff, like, you know, geeky like gamer jewelry. Like if you want to, you know, a D20 set of earrings or a, you know, a D20, you know, nose ring, you could probably find one. And a lot of the and a lot of the cosplay stuff too. You know, you can go buy foam swords or, you know, buy, you know, I think I saw booths like actually selling like metal swords and knives and stuff, which I'm amazed that they let them do it. But yeah, you know, everybody there usually pretty responsible. They had like booths like selling leather armor. You could totally go LARP out and, you know, go buy some armor for the Renaissance Fair or something. yeah. And then, you know, they also had some game stores. There were a couple of game stores. The one that I forget the name of the store, but they run Haba's booth. And you guys, I mean, everybody who listens to Family Gamers and probably has knows who Haba Games is. But so they have a, you know, they had a local game store that was actually doing all their demoing and doing other sales and stuff.
Oh, interesting.
And then I think, I hope I don't get this right, Pegasus Spiel was another one. They had a local Indiana game store actually running their booth, you know, doing all the sales, and had their store and volunteers running demos and stuff too, which I thought was interesting too. So I'm sure that, you know, those, I'm sure they actually had some real reps, you know, they're working, but, you know, they were game stores running, you know, helping run those booths and, you know, running the cash register and stuff.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, everything under the sun. I mean, there were companies, you know, you could buy your, you know, your gaming accessories, you know, Broken Token had massive booths, Meeple Source, all their, you know, tricked out, you know, blinged out, I should say, gaming accessories. I mean, everything you could think of, t-shirts, you know, any Cthulhu shirt you could think of was there, you know.
I'm pretty done with zombies and Cthulhu at this point.
Yeah, Cthulhu, you know, all your obligatory, themes.
Some people are there.
Oh, yeah, big time. And then you can see even some of the digital, digital gaming companies are there. I'm not a huge video gamer on the PC, but they had some PC gamings there. I can't think of the name of the big company. They always have like these gigantic like zombie bears and stuff at their booth. You know, it's cool to take pictures with. You know, Direwolf Studios, who does that Eternal app. It's like a trading card CCG app. Who also are the guys that designed Clank, one of my other favorite. That was my other favorite one, Clank. That's, you asked me earlier what was my favorite board games. Clank. I'm a huge Clank fanatic. So they had huge mega screens, you know, set up. You can actually go play on an iPad and then watch what you're doing up on the big TVs and stuff.
That's neat.
Yeah, big mix of everything. I mean, there's companies selling like beer steins and like, you know, glasses and, you know, flatware with stuff. You know,
get your Meeple flatware here.
Your Meeple flatware, yeah. You know, or, you know, your engraved, you know, glass, you know, glassware and stuff. And
that's
then
funny.
The other new thing I've seen the last couple of years is, you know, people are like really going nuts over like these tricked out dice, like selling dice made out of like precious stones and, you know, these precious metals. Like I went to one booth and like, you know, pick up like, oh, a titanium set of dice, like $500. Like, whole, you are like some serious D&D rollers if you're spending $500 on a set of dice.
Yeah, plus you don't want to roll those on your wooden table because they're going to dent your table.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking, I'm like, oh, I wonder if anybody's ever had a glass kitchen table and just didn't pay attention to roll and like, you know, ouch. Or scratching.
Yeah, that's bad.
But yeah, pretty much any geeky, nerdy accessory you can find, you would find there. You know, you see the same vendors you'd see at like any kind of Comic-Con too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so how about if there were, if somebody was thinking about going to Gen Con, can you give me like three things that they absolutely must do if they go to Gen Con?
Absolutely must do.
Yeah, like okay. can't miss things about Gen
can't
Con.
Can't miss. Okay. You know, one of the fun things, I guess, for food-wise, that both of my friends were ecstatic about, you know, they had the food trucks. So, like, right out, you know, when you exit the, you know, this is a non-gaming thing, right? So, when you exit out the main conference area, they have a whole, like, they call it the block party. It's right out in front. And they have a big, huge beer tent. And they have just, like, two rows, solid rows packed with food trucks. I mean, everything you can imagine under the sun. Sadly, I split a piece of pizza from, like, I think it was Hot Box Pizza every day with Izzy for lunch. So, I didn't get to partake in all the food truck shenanigans that my friends did. That was just neat. I mean, it just, you know, these massive food trucks. I mean, anything from South Carolina barbecue to, you know, tofu and, you know, some wild, you know, healthy stuff, you know.
Who needs that?
I know, right? Yeah. Oh.
Now, when we had the One Board Family Group on the show talking about Origins, they said that, I think it was Rio Grande Games had some deal, like if you were hanging out in the Rio Grande area playing games
oh, yeah,
and stuff,
yes,
they was like,
yes.
There was free food there.
There was. That's like a Gen Con like pro tip, super secret thing that not everybody knows about. Yeah.
But I don't think that's Gen Con only, because they had it at Origins
no.
too.
Yeah, right. I heard that too. I think I heard the same, you know, news that you did. Yeah, Rio, you have a gigantic room, that they rent out. I think it's on the second floor. And yeah, we went there late at night. We ended up playing Dominion, there, cause my buddy's never played it before. And so we went and played and, yeah, noticed on the back wall, they had all like the buffet serving things set up. I'm like, oh, we just missed it. So, you know, another way, if you're on, you know, gaming on a budget and would rather spend your money on games than food, like me.
Hey.
You know, we ate on $6 a lunch every day, the two of us, because she couldn't eat a whole mega piece of pizza. So, you know, I diverted my budget to, you know, game expenditures.
So definitely hit the food trucks. Okay,
yeah, hit
so.
The food trucks. That was fun. And the other cool thing, especially, you know, maybe I'll go from a kid's angle, stuff that she got a kick out of. They have this thing called Cardhalla. So they have a, so one of the wings, one of the sides of the main convention area.
I think I saw
imagine,
pictures of that.
Yeah, so they have all these like CCG cards, like Magic, you know, Wizards Donates cards, you know, all these. So we have people that just hang out there all weekend for the first 3 days, I think. You know, Thursday, I think I start Wednesday night, Thursday, Friday, and then they destroy it Saturday for charity. So yeah, these people just building towers of cards. Like we walked by the one afternoon, I think it was on Friday, and there was a gentleman standing there. He built like one of those ATA walkers from Star Wars. And we're kind of looking at him like, I bet that's an AT-AT. And Izzy's like, yeah, that is. And he looked over. He's like, yep. And he gave me the thumbs up. Like, all right, nice.
out of card, like.
Yeah, just, out of cards. He was sitting there just painstakingly, like, folding trading cards to stack them and line them up. And,
oh,
you know,
my
just
goodness.
No glue either. No glue. You know, and I think anybody could have walked up. We walked by another time. There was a kid, you know, like a mom and son sitting there, you know, just folding these cards up and, you know, making these crazy designs. Then on Saturday night, I don't know what time it was. We missed it, sadly. I'm sure we were off gaming somewhere after dinner. They, you know, you can just come, everybody, they, you know, blow a whistle or whatever, and you can just start throwing quarters and silver dollars and money and just destroying it. And then all the cash there, you know, got divvied up for some of the Gen Con charities that they sponsor. So
that's actually a really cool way of
yeah.
doing it.
Yeah.
So it's not like bidding to destroy the AT-AT. It's just start
no.
throwing money
yeah,
at it.
Just
throw money.
Trash
that's
anything
fantastic.
You want. Yeah. You know, come with your bag of nickels or quarters or silver dollars or something. So, you know, your money's going to some of the Gen Con charities that they sponsor this each year.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's just neat. That was neat to see. I thought the other cool thing, you know, again, I'm not a sports fan, but the Lucas Oil Stadium was neat because I was able to kind of step on, you know, they had a little bit of turf there to walk on. And it was just, that was just surreal walking into a football stadium. You know, I guess like every geek out there would be like, you know, cheering like, hey, look at me, I'm on a football field, you know, and it's gaming. It's not football, it's gaming. You know, it was just, we walked in there and we're like, holy moly, this is like, you know, a huge, huge, you know, domed stadium that's just, you know, devoted to gaming for the 4 days that we were there. They had all the, you know, those prompters, you know, the little ticker tape, displays running with like, you know, Gen Con or Rio and like CMON and just, you know, advertisements for all the game companies that we patron and stuff. And it was neat. On the second floor we walked up, they had Lucas Oil, the company that, you know, owns the stadium. They're an oil company, and they had all like, they had racing dragsters and stuff like hanging up on the walls. We walked up, I got my picture taken with like a Top Fuel dragster, you know, they had funny cars and stuff like that. So that was kind of neat. I mean, other than, you know, excluding, you know, the events and all the gaming stuff, I mean, those are some pretty neat things. And then, you know, the other thing is, some of the fun things is just that some of the restaurants, they really get into it. There's this, company called, or a restaurant chain called The Ram. They're like a steakhouse, and they do a like a Gen Con menu. They like replace their menu, and it's got all these, you know, gaming reference, and I can't remember the game, of course, because we're talking that they change all the names of all the food to, so it's got all these weird, you know,
sure,
whatever, monster gelatinous burger or something like that, you know, and stuff. But yeah, I mean, other things, there's a couple of cool things to check out. And, you know, they do a lot of there's a lot of events, you know, fun events too. One of the I'm going to do every year now that I did it, was a highlight for me was going to like the Dice Tower live show. I'm a big fan of the Dice Tower. Mm-hmm. Love all those guys.
So that was cool.
Right? Proud member of the Dice Tower Network, Family Gamers. So that was really neat. That was one of my favorite things from Gen Con, was going to the Dice Tower live show. I'd highly recommend, if you're a fan of the Dice Tower crew, to go to that. They did like two live game shows, which were just hysterical. You know, everybody really got into it. I'm trying to think what else. You know, just, I mean, gaming obviously is the experience, but we had a lot of fun, you know. And then I guess the other fun part is just actually getting to meet some of the people that design these games and the publishers. You know, when they, at the Dice Tower live show, they announced, you know, Restoration Games, another one of all of our favorites, you know, announced their redo of the Dark Tower. So that was cool, just to get and see some of like, here's the exclusive stuff that nobody else knows about. And now the cat's out of the bag, getting to see that firsthand, you know, was kind of special. And then, you know, then afterwards, you know, we went over to Restoration's booth, and I got to meet Rob Davio and, you know, Isaac Childress of Gloomhaven. And, you know, got to shake hands with them, and, you know, I got an autographed poster, and was able to meet them. And, you know, it was just really neat. We had a fun story. I think it was Friday night. We were playing, I picked up My Little Scythe for Izzy, which is a phenomenal game. I highly recommend any parent to get that game for your child for Christmas. And we could talk about it ad nauseum if you want, but okay. Highly recommend it. We happen to be playing it Friday night, having like this most epic game with myself, my best friend, another friend of mine that recently moved to California. His name is Phil, great guy. So we were playing, the four of us, and one of the game designers that I'm a fan of, his name is Marcus. He designed a game called Bees. I think his name is through Water Bear Games, I believe it is. And we ended up, he walked by, he's like, how do you guys like this game? And we were talking. I've met him at every Gen Con I see him, and I always make a point to say hi, because I've, you know, bought another game from him. I think he had like another game, a salmon fish game that I bought my first Gen Con. And, we were talking, and I'm like, hey guys, this is the guy, tell my friend Anthony, I'm like, hey, Izzy and Anthony, this is the guy who designed Bees. And I'm like, holy crap, you know, holy moly, we love that game. You know, Izzy started like fangirling out about it all the time. It's such a fun game. And then one of my friends is like, oh, I haven't played them. He's like, well, let me go get it. And he's like, when you guys finish up. So we actually sat down and played. He taught us how to play it. You know, my friend that never played it. And we, you know, 20, 30 minutes, we were just hanging out and playing Bees with the designer of Bees. You know, how much cooler could that get?
Right. That's awesome.
You know, then playing, you know, games the designer. Did that same thing for on Saturday. We played, you know, the new game Filler that's coming out in the next couple months. We're able to do that with the designer, and, you know,
you got
that
to play
was fun.
That with the designer? Oh, man, I'm so jealous right now.
That was one of the other highlights, just getting to meet these phenomenal designers. His name is Jonathan. You know, phenomenal design, just chatting with them, just learning, you know, just all these downer, these are just average folks like us that just, you know, have this creativity streak that design this stuff. And it was so cool just sitting there you know, them talking about, you know, and some of the interviews I did with him, you know, just where he got the inspiration for the game, you know, it's just neat getting those, that like inside, like, where did this come from? These such awesome things that we, you know, we play all the time, and it's neat hearing their stories and how they came up with it, how they iterated it, or where their inspiration was from. You know, and then I think he, and it was funny, after we got done playing, we had some spare time, and he's like, do you guys want to play another game or something? He's like, oh, have you guys ever played Fabled Fruit? And this was a game that I admittedly probably would never pick up for myself to play or try. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, he's like, you know, because he saw Izzy, he's like, she'd totally be down for this. So I'm like, yeah, let's try it. So he taught us how to play Fabled Fruit, and we had such a blast, you know, doing it. And I'd actually probably go out and buy a copy now, because it's almost got like a legacy feel to it, believe it or not. The cards as you play through, you don't reuse some of these sets of cards over and over, and there's like a number progression through. So like the game changes, you know, it gets harder and ramps up. So I'd highly recommend that one. I would have never played it if it wasn't for him. And it was just so cool just to, you know, see all these publishers. Had another, you know, really cool, you know, restores your faith in the world of how awesome people can be, and just, you know, the kindness factor. On our last day there, we were literally walking out, you know, the final bells tolling, like, okay, you guys, the announcers, you guys got to leave. It's 10 to 4 on Sunday. And Izzy and I wanted to get a copy of Dinosaur Tea Party from Restoration Games. I was selling it to her the last couple days, and we just didn't have an opportunity to run back over there and get it. So we walked over, and, you know, Justin, who runs Restoration Games, you know, he's like, hey, how's it going? You know, Nick and Izzy, we had met him the other day prior. They didn't have it on sale yet. And Izzy's like, yeah, what do you guys need? I'm like, oh, we wanted to, he's like, do you have any Dinosaur Tea Parties left? And he's like, he's like, you know, we sold out. And she, you know, I get, you know, the usual, you know, the kid, like,
the kid pout,
sad face. You know, she was like, because I was doing a good job of selling, I'm like, this is going to be cool. You're going to like it. It's got, you know, British dinosaurs, and they're having tea parties, and, you know, you got to try to figure out who's who, you know. And so I was really selling it to her. So I was like, parent fail for not going over there earlier and getting it right.
Yeah.
So, you know, so being such a super awesome dude that he was, he's like, let me see if I got like the demo copy, you know, the booth copy. So he scrounged around, and one of his booth volunteers or helpers there, she's like, oh, here's one. And he pulled it out. He's like, well, let me just check it out, make sure everything's here, and opens it up. He's like, oh, this isn't even the demo copy. This isn't even punched. And the cards are sealed. The punch board's still there. So he looks over at Izzy, and he's like, all right. He's like, I got this. I'm going to give it to you on one condition. And he's like, you're going to pay for this with a smile. He's like, I felt bad that we didn't have any. So he's like, if you give me a smile, you will have that. I will give you this game. And, I mean, she just like her eyes just lit up. She was like, you know, and you know, I profusely like, please, can I just pay you for this? And you know, and he's like, no, he's like, it was just worth it. You know, watching your daughter smile, you know, and you guys knowing that you guys will go home and, you know, enjoy this game with your family and stuff. So, you know, aww. So that was the other thing. It's just a lot of cool, just really cool people. You know, these publishers are so nice. And I always try to make it a point, you know, even to the gaming world, just to, you know, thank people for the hard work that they put into things. And, you know, when I met, you know, when we were at the booth, I met Rob Dabu, happened to be walking up right as the bell was chiming. And I'm like, oh, we got our picture with him. And, you know, I just shook his hand. I'm just like, you know, just thank you for everything you do. You know, all the enjoyment and stuff that you bring to families and us, you know, gamers. You know, everybody complains about, oh, this game or this, you know, this, people just, you know, the negativity is just too much of it in the world. And I try to make it a point to just thank these people for, you know, what they do. And, you know, it just needs to be said, you know, positivity can go a long way. And, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe that helped brighten his day a little bit for the madness that is it being at Gen Con.
Yeah, it really is cool to meet a lot of those people whose names you see on the sides of boxes and stuff like that, and realize, like, we know in our head, like, these are normal human beings.
Yeah.
But have this...
You put them on a shell, like with sports icons,
yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Oh, my God, it's like Michael Jordan or, you know, whoever.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, it's actually helpful with board game designers because they're also sized like normal human beings.
Yes, right, yes.
It actually helps.
Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, there was a couple dudes that were some big dudes. Like, yep, these guys hit the gym a lot.
All right. Well, listen, Nick. Thanks for sharing so much about about the Gen Con experience. I mean, I wanted to go to Gen Con before. Now I want to go to Gen Con more.
You gotta come.
I'll have to give in each of the sad puppy dog eyes and see what we can work out.
See if it works.
Yeah.
Totally worth it to be able to game, you know, for 4 days and just be, you know, be around there and just experience it. It's an experience. I think that's what makes it so much fun. You know, getting to try new stuff, getting to meet fun people. You know, one of the other fun things we did, we went to Stronghold Games. They had their Fist of the Dragonstone Tavern game. They had a release party, so we went to that and had a ton of fun there. Walked away with like a swag mug and, you know, had a blast, you know, with people. Got to meet Steven Bonacore, who runs Stronghold Games. Super cool guy, you know. It was just a lot of fun. Just so much to do, so much cool people you'll meet, you know. I said, you'll get those awesome random acts of kindness, you know, people paying it forward to others. And it's such an awesome, I always have such a positive experience.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we have a special extra guest coming on the show.
All right, sounds good.
This episode of The Family Gamers is sponsored by the Wild East Game Company. You can go to wildeastgames.com/order to find all of the games that the Wild East Game Company has created. Whether you're looking for privateering rodents, some upset totems, or some electrified dice, the Wild East Game Company has the game for you. Check them out online at wildeastgames.com.
Extra special guest is Izzy Martinelli. Hi, Izzy.
Hi.
How are you, Izzy?
Good.
So you weren't here before, but we were talking with your dad all about Gen Con and all about the crazy stuff that you guys did at Gen Con.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what you did at Gen Con. What do you remember from the show?
Oh, train car. Looking at the train car. That was awesome. Yay.
Yay, train car.
Yeah, so your dad was telling us about the train cars, and you got to sleep in the train cars?
Yes.
Yeah, well, were you, like, totally amazed when you saw them, or?
Yeah.
Okay, what was your favorite part about them?
That they were super cool on the inside. They had a mini fridge, a desk, a TV, and two chairs, and a bed, and two beds, and Anthony slept on a mattress, and the bathroom with his shower.
Almost like a hotel room?
A rack. Yeah, it was a hotel
but
room.
But all of that in a train car. Right. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So your dad told me that he was going to buy you like a dragon bracelet thing.
Yeah, he didn't buy it because it was $30.
But I heard that you really liked them. Tell us about the dragon bracelets because I didn't see them.
Okay, well, they were little, they're, I think they were homemade. They were, they wrap around your wrist and you wear them like a bracelet. I have a snake like that, but.
What color is the one you like?
I like the pink and purple one that glowed in the dark.
That does sound pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah, it is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he won't buy me one because it's $30.
Well, $30 is like the cost of a board game.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. He's like, I ask him, hey, Dad, why do you buy $30 games if you won't buy me this $30 little thing? It's a bracelet. Come on.
Yeah, Dad, come on. Why not?
My dad's right
here. No comment whatsoever.
So my dad's right here, and he's just...
No comment.
Right. He's very bad at commenting.
If you had heard the rest of you, what we had already talked about with your dad, he is not very bad at commenting.
This is true. So, Izzy, did you play games while you were there?
Yeah, tons of games.
Okay, what games did you play?
I played My Little Scythe and Magic Maze and Whoosh. And we also played with Mini Kingdom.
Minute Kingdom?
Minute Kingdom.
Minute Kingdom.
And Ravenite.
Ooh, that looks really cool.
So, okay, tell us about that, because I don't even know if your dad mentioned that game. So Izzy is showing us this game called Rainbow Knights. Tell us about Rainbow Knights. What do you do in that game?
Well, what you have are these little clear cards, and... Okay.
They're like Instagram effect filters. Cool.
Yeah. So, basically, I can't get them out of the box, but there's these grumpy little cloud cards, which sit in the middle of the board.
Okay, so they're clear acrylic
with grumpy clouds.
I think waterproof cards, maybe. Yeah.
Okay, they're waterproof, sure. That makes sense.
And they're bendable plastic, as you can see. I'm just bending them, and they're bendable plastic.
What do you do with those?
And though these are the corners. You have to keep the corners on the inside like this, so it'll be one big square.
Okay, so you have four corners, and you're kind of making a square on the table.
Yeah.
It becomes like your play surface that you have clouds in. Cool.
Okay.
So, how you play is, basically you're trying to build a little rainbow track that your little knight is trying to make a little card. So you have to connect the cloud with the knight. So let's say I made a track like this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it has to connect like this, which is good.
Okay, so you have all these kind of square, clear, floppy plastic tiles, and you're making a rainbow track. That has to go inside the square that you made with the corners?
Yes.
And then are you trying to avoid the big clouds?
And you can't crash into the clouds.
Okay, so you're avoiding the clouds.
If you crash, you lose.
Got it.
Okay. So where
or
are you...
Or if you crash into your own path, you lose, too.
So where are... What if you crash into someone else's path, or is it a single-player game?
You lose.
You lose? Okay, there's a lot of losing in this game.
Though you have to count how many of these cards before you crash you have.
Okay,
so whoever has the most cards gets to start the next round.
Okay, so you're basically
flying... Oh, that's who wins, sorry.
Okay, so you're basically flying around trying not to crash.
Yeah.
And that's it?
Rainbows...
Okay, so there's no destination. You're just trying to not crash into each other.
So it's basically multiplayer Snake, but with this really cool rainbow theme.
Yep,
exactly. Yeah, the Rainbow Knight's trying to get the longest path.
Oh, cool.
Cool.
That sounds kind of neat. It sounds like a really easy game to pick up, throw down, and play. And because the cards are plastic, they're pretty durable, I would guess.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're really durable.
I don't want to ask you to try to scratch on one of the ones with printing on it to see how hard it is to get that stuff off.
You watch this.
I'd be interested to know.
Yeah, no, I'm taking my nail in here and nothing's happening at all.
Okay, good.
Awesome.
So this is a game that you could play in the snow.
Right, exactly. In the snow.
That's pretty
rain,
awesome.
Patio table.
Excellent.
Cool, possibly.
Restaurant table.
Yeah, definitely restaurant table.
Soda gets spilled on it.
Right, exactly. You don't even have to pick the tiles up to eat your food. You could just eat your food right on top of them and then pick them up and then keep going.
I like that idea.
You could use them as coasters. It'd be perfect.
We are going to do a little experiment after we are done with this little...
Okay. What are you going to do? Tell me. I want to know.
We are going to do an experiment. We're going to take one of these like floppy little cards and see if it floats or sinks. Because if it floats, you could just... place it on top of the water. Boom.
That is an interesting idea on how to play.
Yeah.
Right? And then you could drop weights in the water and try to get it to move things around.
You get way too complex for this.
Anyway, so you like Rainbow Knights? Is that something you bought at Gen Con?
No, Anthony bought it for us.
Cool. That's awesome.
We also bought Ice Cool 2.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so jealous.
We don't even have Ice Cool 1 yet, so...
Between Ice Cool 2 and My Little Scythe, I am so jealous of your Gen
Con experience.
We have
My Little Scythe, too.
Yeah, we heard.
Yeah.
So, okay, here's a question. For someone who doesn't own Ice Cool, but we know that our kids like it...
Yeah.
Do you feel like buying Ice Cool 2 is enough, or do you feel like owning both of them is a necessity?
You have to own both of them.
Why?
Have to own both of them.
Why?
Because you can connect the game boards.
Ooh.
They're connectable game boards.
Oh, so you could connect Ice Cool with Ice Cool 2 and make, like, a super mega game board.
Yeah, and you can have 8 players, too.
Oh, that's a good reason.
That's
a good reason.
Why you want to buy the second one, too. because if you buy the first one, you have to buy the second one.
Yeah.
And then there's a game called the Ice Cool Pyramid. It's a magnet game where on the back you take this little thing and you move your magnet.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. All
right, well, I have one more question for you, Izzy.
Yes?
Did you meet any cool people at Gen Con, and who was your favorite person that you met?
Tom.
Would that be Tom Vassell?
Yeah.
Why is he so cool?
Because he dumps out his stuff.
He dumps out all of his games. Okay, so this is the big lead up. Here we go. So we have heard from your dad for, I don't know, a month and a half that you were going to ask Tom
why
he dumps out all the stuff. Did you ask him?
Yes, I did.
And now from you, why does Tom Vassell dump all the stuff out for the board?
Because he has four reasons why he does it.
Okay.
Okay.
First of all, because it's fun. You can see all the pieces.
He wants to see all the pieces.
It makes everybody mad. And the last one was he does it because he can.
That's cool.
All right.
There's something healthy about recognizing that a game is meant to be played, and so the pieces can get worn.
Anybody else cool that we met?
Susie and Mandy.
Oh, cool. Oh. You met Susie and Mandy. What was your favorite thing about meeting them?
Because I got to see them on the Dice Tower live show, and we gave them family gamer buttons.
Yes. Excellent! Good job, Izzy.
And cards, too.
Cool. Very, very cool.
And we gave the girl gamers gamer pins, too. I was selling them for free, and only a couple people took them.
Okay. I see. Well, once you hear the word sell, then, it gets a little,
Well, I wasn't selling them. I was just going like...
I know.
Free buttons.
So, Izzy, you were the designated button distributor?
Yes.
Yeah, we do that, too, when we go to college with our kids.
Oh, I did a button quest! The button quest is really fun.
What is it? What is a button quest?
Oh, well, you walk around the different booths, and they give you this map where there's a whole bunch of different button locations, and you have to go find all the different buttons, and then you can get this master button.
Whoa. That sounds really,
really cool.
All right. Well, thank you, Izzy, for telling us all about your Gen Con experience. I hope you had a lot of fun, and I heard that you're totally planning on going back next year.
Yeah!
All right. Awesome. So, honey, where can people find us online?
You can find us on our website, thefamilygamers.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find us on all the social medias at FamilyGamersAA.
Yep. Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram are the ones of choice for us. You can also find our community. It's a Facebook community, but the best place to get it is from our website, thefamilygamers.com/community.
As always, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already. Tell your friends about it. There is someone in your life who needs more family gaming content in their lives. And shoot us a review over at Apple Podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Family Gamers are sponsored by Wild East Games. You can find Wild East Games online at wildeastgames.com or at Wild East Games on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also email us, Andrew@thefamilygamers.com.
Anitra@thefamilygamers.com. And
Nick@thefamilygamers.com.
So that's it for this week. And until next time,
play games with your kids!